This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. Last Friday, Canadians awoke to a shocker splashed across the front page of the National Post. The Conservative Daily reported that Iran's parliament had passed a law requiring all citizens to wear standard Islamic garments and all non-Muslims to wear color-coded badges signifying their religion. Jews would wear yellow, Christians red, Zoroastrians blue. The article was accompanied by a photo of a Hungarian Jewish couple in the 1940s with the Nazi-mandated stars sewn onto their coats. Bloggers leapt on the story, and Rush Limbaugh wasn't far behind.
In Iran, human rights groups, amazingly, are raising alarms over this. I don't recall human rights groups coming to the defense of Christians lately, but I guess they've got no choice here.
It is yet another sign, read a New York Post editorial the following day, that Iran is testing the rest of the world's resolve regarding Tehran's nascent nuclear weapons program, even as Hitler tested the will of Europe with his piecemeal territorial expansion in the run-up to World War II. Never mind that the story about the color-coded badges appears to have been completely false. On Saturday, the National Post ran a follow-up piece with outright denials from Iranian officials and experts, and on Wednesday, the paper's editor offered a 900-word apology. In it, he said the story's primary source was a column in the paper, also last Friday, by Iranian exile Amir Tahiri.
Tahiri is represented by Benador Associates, a public relations firm in New York run by Eliana Benador. Her client list reads like a who's who of neoconservative thinkers: Richard Perle, James Woolsey, and Michael Ledeen, among others. They published many op-ed column inches supporting regime change in the run-up to the Iraq War, thanks to Benador's help. As for Tahiri, he's sticking to his story about Iran's new dress code, and Eliana Benador is too.
I have not seen in that article anything wrong with that information. He says that there will be a new Iranian dress code, probably as of September, probably. For me, I think this is the bottom line. And, you know, people can distort it or look at it in their own way. You can have it black and white, and they will see yellow and green.
You know, I don't wish to quibble with you about the relative blackness of the sentence. It also envisages separate dress codes for religious minorities, Christians, Jews, Zoroastrians,
right,
who will have to adopt distinct color schemes to make them identifiable in public. But what raises my eyebrows about this whole incident is it is so eerily familiar to a story that was widely circulated during the lead up to the first Gulf War about babies being thrown out of their incubators by Iraqi troops occupying Kuwait. A story that turned out to be a complete fabrication floated by a public relations agency that had as its client the Kingdom of Kuwait.
Yeah, well, I see your point. The only thing I can tell you is that our funds are never coming from any government. And if my experts give me articles that they feel they have to publish and that we submit them to editors, and if they feel this is important enough, we all are working on the same direction to try to protect the public. There is no warmongering here at all. But there are some instances where public opinion has to be alerted.
Now, Eliana, I don't wish to rub your nose in this, but I've got to say, in terms of being concerned and spreading the word before the invasion of Iraq, you and your clients were, you know, quite noisy about WMD. Now, those warnings have been discredited. Does this make you gun-shy about the Iran situation or no?
Well, we were not only speaking about weapons of mass destruction. We were speaking about also the massacres under Saddam Hussein. That was on behalf of human rights. Now, in my mind, I'm convinced that there were weapons of mass destruction. I mean, even Colin Powell presented that on our televisions. We could see what was brought up from intelligence. You know, again, this is a case where, you know, you have the facts in front of you and people just prefer not to believe in that.
Now that the Iraq War has proved to be so unpopular and widely regarded anyway as a complete fiasco, do you find centrist and left-of-center papers less hospitable to the work of your clients? Do you think that you've got a reputation for being so much a true believer that editors take you less seriously?
No, not at all. Not at all. But I have to say the administration is having a major problem in communicating with the American people. And the American people basically doesn't even remember why we are in Iraq, why we are in Afghanistan, why are we worried about Iran. You know, we're facing an enemy who has views, extreme views of his own religion, and he wants to come, conquer the West, make us convert to his version of religion, and make me, a woman from the West, dressed completely in black, not work. You know, I disagree with that. If this would be constantly explained to the people, you know, things would be much, much better for everybody.
So then to conclude, in the situation that we face now, when this theocratic repressive regime seems on the verge of actually being a nuclear power, and Tahrir comes up with a column like this, if it inflames the public, does it even matter to you whether the story is, strictly speaking, true?
It does matter. But the point is, number one, I believe what Amir wrote. He's the man of integrity who's been fighting for human rights, you know, throughout the Middle East. You know, I'm worried about the Iranian government and if they are going to do this. You know, if we are lucky and we stop it and they don't do any dress code, well, that will be, you know, a great outcome.
All right. Well, Eliana, thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
Eliana Benador is president of Benador Associates Public Relations in New York. She spoke to us from Zurich.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.